Well, I don't hear you through Skype. All right, are we there? Good afternoon. Welcome to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning into the Republic Broadcasting Network here. Today is August 26, 2007. This is the show dedicated to the promotion of individual rights as exemplified in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the two founding documents of this country. And my special guest today is Mr. John Rowland, and he is the president and founder of something called the Constitution Society. And associated with that is something called the, or he has a website, which is simply constitution.org. So do we have John on the line? Okay, well, folks, hang on a minute. We're still trying to get my guest, John Rowland, on the line. As I said, he is the founder and president of the Constitution Society. His website is www.constitution.org. And trying to get him on the line here momentarily. He has just a wealth of information. So if you're listening to this call live on the Internet, I would suggest that you go to his website, constitution.org, and he'll probably make reference to various citations and so forth that he has on that site from time to time. We're still trying to reach him, so please bear with us as we iron out the technical difficulties and get him on the line here with us today. While we're waiting, I want to note that as you probably heard, most of the listeners on this network have probably heard that Aaron Russo died on Friday. So we all mourn the loss of Aaron Russo. Of course, most of us know him best for creating and producing the movie America, Freedom to Fascism, which came out about a year and a half ago and was shown here in some theaters in Kansas City just about 13 months ago. Most of you can now get that DVD for a dollar or so. In fact, I have a few copies left, so if anybody's listening here wants to get a copy of that on DVD, I can get you a copy for a dollar for the DVD and let's say $2 for postage in the package that I have to stick it in. This is a nonprofit endeavor. I'm just passing on the cost to you of what it cost for me to get a copy of that movie, Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism, which I think is probably the best single introduction to the freedom issues that we face, which are ongoing, the decimation, in my view, of civil liberties. And when we get John Rowland on the line here, I think he'll be able to articulate very well for you just how far our government, our national government, has strayed from the constitutional boundaries in which it should reside. And, of course, I think also state governments and even local governments have basically, to an increasing extent, ignored individual rights in this country for quite some time. And maybe through radio shows like this and others on the Republic Broadcasting Network, we're waking people up to the fact that unless we do something about it and do it quickly, the Republic as we know it is likely to be lost. So, well, folks, our first break is due right now, so stay with us, and hopefully when we get back on here, we'll have John Rowland with us as a guest. Thanks for tuning in. Stay with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody.
What a concept.
Casting Network at the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in. We're still trying to reach John Roland, the founder and president of Constitution Society and the maintainer. I think he's created and maintained the website www.constitution.org and just has a wealth of information on there about the Constitution. And I called him yesterday and hopefully he hasn't forgotten, but he was pleased to be able to come on, I think, today. In fact, he was doing a show last night on the Constitution. And part of what he's going to talk about is the fact that next month, on September 17th, is what's called Constitution Day, because that will be the, I believe, 220th anniversary of the ratification of the Constitution there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in Independence Hall. And it's a great place to visit if you ever get a chance to go back there. And just has a profound historical significance for this country. Well, as I said, we're still trying to reach John Roland on the line, and unfortunately, I planned my show around him talking. So if people at this point want to call in and have any questions or feedback for me on any of the issues that I've discussed over the last 4 months that I've been on the Republic Broadcasting Network, today now would be a good time. The phone number to call in is 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. Anything that's on your mind related to this show, related to individual rights, related to government interference, violation of individual rights, you're welcome to call in and discuss that at this point. As we await my guest, hopefully we'll be able to reach him here shortly. I noted, as I said, Aaron Rousseau died here on Friday, and that's, of course, a great loss to the patriot community. I consider him a great patriot, and unfortunately, he you know, lost his battle with cancer, apparently, which he had been fighting for, at least since the time I knew about him, which is about a year and a half ago. I had him on my radio show a couple times back when I was on KCXL, and he was a great guest, a great promoter, of course, of his own movie, and as I understand it, really absorbed a lot of the cost for that, making that movie himself, and probably never got fully paid back for his individual investment in that movie. So again, if you haven't seen it, you definitely need to get a copy of America: Freedom to Fascism. It is now on DVD, and I have a few copies left. I can get more, I guess. I have a few copies left, so if you want to get a copy from me, send me $3, a dollar for the DVD, and $2 to cover postage and handling, and I'll send you out a copy. You can contact me through my website, petermaxshow.com, or just simply send me an email at peter@petermaxshow.com. Again, that's peter@petermaxshow.com. Well, one of the issues that I noticed recently about the federal government is they, of course, continue to let us know about spying that's going on, domestic spying, which I think is clearly outside of the scope of their constitutional provisions. In fact, an article that appeared on Alex Jones, Infowars.net, talked about Homeland Security to covertly scan behavior. And I'll just read a bit of that. This article came out on August 9th here, just a little over 2 weeks ago. And it goes like this. The United States Department of Homeland Security is to install a host of new technology to covertly scan the behavior and emotions of American citizens in an effort to prevent terrorism, according to an upcoming article in The New Scientist. Scientists and engineers have been asked to devise ways of analyzing people's behavior and physiology from afar in the hope that they may reveal clues about their mental state and even their future intentions, reports the London Guardian. Now, it wasn't but a few days ago, maybe a week or so ago, that in the Kansas City Star, on the front page, an article appeared talking about the fact that the government is going to have people do what apparently they're trying to get technology to do, as discussed in this article, and that is have people just watch for people in the airport and, you know, subjectively evaluate their behavior and see if their behavior suggests that they might be a terrorist, I suppose. And to me, that, again, bodes just tremendous danger for our society, when the idea that the government can walk around and look at people's behavior with the idea that, well, this particular behavior seems to be indicative of a person who might be a terrorist. I suppose we would all be concerned about some behavior if it was, you know, really, really bizarre. But other than that, I find it very, very scary that someone would, or the government would employ people to, you know, hang out in airports. I don't know if these people are going to be employed by the Transportation Service Association, but, you know, it's just, I think we're getting more and more like Eastern European countries. And in fact, recently here, a couple days ago, I rented a movie that was about the East German police known as the Stasi, S-T-A-S-I, and it was a movie, but I think it was true to life based on, you know, what we knew went on in that country before the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. And there was a playwright, and he was an avowed socialist, a staunch supporter of the state in East Germany, the DDR, the German Democratic Republic, as it was called in English, Deutsche Demokratische Republik. But he was a staunch supporter of it, but he was contacted by some people from the West when he began to notice that suicides that the East German government had published for a long time, they decided to quit publishing. And he was concerned about that, and so he was contacted by some people in West Germany, and I'm just reading a note here about somebody else attempting to contact John Rowland. Anyway, the playwright was contacted by a reporter from a magazine called Der Spiegel, which is equivalent to Time magazine, I guess, in this country. And this playwright decided that he would write a piece on the suicide rates going up in East Germany, and have that information smuggled out. And it's just a real interesting movie. It's called Lives of the Others, I believe, and you can rent it. I rented it at Blockbuster. At least it's a fairly new release. But I was struck by what I think are the parallels anymore between how the East German police behave there and the parallels between that and, say, the IRS. I mean, they would just knock on somebody's door and say, we're from the state security, Stasi as it's called by acronym, and they would come in and search the place for any propaganda, any literature that they thought was unacceptable and so forth. And I think about what goes on in this country often, and people are often served with search warrants. And I know my friend Larkin Rose had his home searched in 2003. I think it was about May of 2003. And part of his appeal is that search warrant was unjustified. And I think it's relatively easy for police and others to get search warrants nowadays. And so what I would just offer to you is that the parallels between what is happening in this country and what did take place under the legal authority, if you will, of East German government, and probably also similar kinds of things took place in the Soviet Union, I'm sure. The parallels are just becoming too close anymore. The IRS, as a friend of mine says, really is sort of like the secret police of this country. They seem to operate without any concern for the law. Of course, thousands upon thousands of people have asked politely for the government to answer simple questions that would determine what laws impose an obligation on the average American citizen living and working in the United States to file and pay a federal income tax. And to the best of my knowledge, nobody among thousands of people asking that question over years have gotten an answer. And yet, when you have a confrontation with the IRS, they treat you much like the Stasi police in East Germany treated their citizens. You're assumed guilty, and they want to go through all of your financial documents. And, if they're building a criminal case, of course, they'll try to find anything they can that could be injurious to you in a legal sense. And I would encourage people to get a hold of the movie and watch it. It's in German, but it has English subtitles. And look at that movie and ask yourself, does the IRS in fact behave a lot like the East German Stasi? I won't give you the ending of the movie. It has a nice little twist in it. But I would encourage people to watch that. And again, we're trying to get a hold of our guest, John Rowland. A couple of people have called and left messages and not gotten a hold of them. I'm not quite sure what the difficulty is, and that's why I've opened up the lines here and encouraged anybody that wants to call in and talk to me about any issue related to the theme of this show to go ahead and do so. The number is toll-free, 800-313-9443. I was listening to Larry Becraft, who was standing in for Tom Cryer yesterday on this network from 2 to 4, and he had Dr. Edwin Vieira on. Dr. Vieira was a guest on my show here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he was just talking. They were talking during that first hour, at least, about what's going on in what's called the North American Union, and the fact that it appears that our government is moving towards some kind of unification, at least economically, if not legally, with Canada and Mexico, and that perhaps out of that union will emerge a new currency called the Amero. So we'll stay with us, folks. We've got a break here, and I'll be right back with the Peter Mac Show in just a minute.
Thank you. Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in here to the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Sunday, August 26th. Well, we have Mike from New York on the line. So, Mike, go ahead.
Hello. Are you talking to me?
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh,
this is Peter.
Okay. I'm calling from Maryland. Not that it makes a big deal.
No, oh, okay.
That's all right. I saw the movie, The Lives of Others. It was a good movie. Oh. I mostly watch foreign films and independent films. Another good movie is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, about the troubles in Northern Ireland. I applauded every time the English got shot. And another good one is The Proposition. That's an Australian Western in the 1880s. Those are good movies, but I didn't want to talk about movies. But it's not just the IRS. It's where this whole country is being converted into a police state. Virtually all, Department of Homeland Security. Marcus Wolf, the former head of the East German Stasi, I don't know if you know, he was a high-pay consultant for Homeland Security. Plus,
I didn't know that. No.
Yes.
What was his name? Marcus Wolf?
Yeah.
And he was the head of the Stasi?
Yeah, he was the former head of the East German Stasi. It's the German pronunciation of Marcus spelling is MarkusWolfe. And you can Google it, Marcus Wolf and Homeland Security, and you'll get a connection. Plus, General Primakov, General Primakov, the former head of the Russian KGB, is also a high-paid consultant. So Homeland Security is basically an apparatus for spying on the American people. I'm sure you probably know the war on terror is all a big hoax. It's all a pretext to take away our rights. with 9/11 being an inside job. So this is all just a pretext to take. We're going towards a police state economy because we're being deindustrialized. So basically, the poor average American slob is going to have to scramble to get any kind of job he can get, and if it means spying on his fellow citizen, being a policeman, being a secret police, being a prison guard, being in the army, you know, being a spy. So that's basically, you know, that's what happens every time to a country before it's, you know, becomes a police state. They wreck the economy to demoralize the people and the desperate. So, you know, I don't know if the American, you know, I mean, how much BS are Americans going to have to be force-fed before they rise up and do something about it? I don't know. But, yeah, Marcus Wolf and Primakov and Karpov, formerly the KGB. So, and if you listen to the ads here, at least here locally, you don't hear so much like the colleges, universities become computer programmers or engineers, because that's all taken up by foreigners anyway, being either outsourced or insourced. It's all the new Homeland Security, you know, becoming a consultant or becoming, you know, security expert or whatever. So we're being geared.
I'm sorry, are they recruiting on campuses in Maryland, Mike?
Well, I don't know if they're probably recruiting, but you hear the advertisements of becoming a, security, you know, kind of job, whether it's, you know, consultant or, you know, that kind of thing. So right. So we're gearing up towards Kurt Vonnegut. I used to read his books back in the 60s and 70s when I was in high school and whatnot. But he wrote this one book, and I can't, of course, he had a wry sense of humor. But this one, I can't remember the title, but I can probably find out easily enough. But the thesis or the premise of the book was, one day in the future United States, half the American people will be in prison and the other half will be prison guards.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh, not that it's funny, but it's just, I mean, we do seem to be moving in that sort of direction.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we're definitely headed towards a police state economy, and it's not just the IRS, it's virtually any governmental agency that's
you're right. Yeah, I had more contact with them, shall we say, than any other of these agencies, at least so far. Fortunately,
There's an interesting website. You may have heard about it. It's called www.rexcurry.net. Have you heard about it?
No. Spell it out for me if you would.
Rex.
Okay.
CURRY.net. And okay. It's by a libertarian. But it's kind of interesting because it shows pictures of American school children back in the early 1900s given the Nazi salute to the flag.
Oh, I have seen those pictures. I didn't know where they came from. Okay. Yeah, I have seen those pictures, yeah.
So, it's like periodically, you know, the powers that be make attempts to turn this into a police state, and sometimes they only have partial success, like with the FDR, with the socialism.
Right.
FDR probably wanted to go full-fledged communist, but because he couldn't pack the court, he didn't quite make it all the way. So
right.
this is the kind of, you know, so, you know, now they have, you know, they have the pretext, the so-called war on terror. They have, Homeland Security in place and all the laws, the PDD 51, like somebody mentioned on Officer Jack McLam's program. So Bush has pretty much all the legislation in place that he needs. All he needs is the trigger mechanism to get the ball rolling, and it remains to be seen whether American troops and police will fire on Americans,
right?
And how much the American people can take, you know. Hopefully it won't work out. I guess time will tell.
I know it's pretty scary though. Mike, give me the name of the KGB consultant for the DHS now. I missed that. The counterpart or the of Marcus Wolf.
Yeah, Primakov. P-R-I-M-A-K-O-F-F. And Karpov. Okay. K-A-R-P-O-F-F.
Got it. Very good. We're due for a break, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Here to the Peter Mac Show. Today is Sunday, August 26th. I understand we have John on the line. John, are you there now?
I am here.
All right, very good. Thank you. I know you must have had a difficult time getting in. But anyway, tell us, if you would, how your show went last night. I know you were on TV talking about the Constitution, right, in the Austin area?
Well, it went very well, as it always does. We also had some good calls coming in. So,
that always helps,
all
right?
Show. We had Terry Parker on the line. As you may know, Terry Liberty Parker is one of the leading lights of the libertarian movement. He came down with brain carcinoma.
Oh, my.
He's fighting that now. He's at home with getting chemotherapy with the help of his dear lady, Rita Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And we all are holding out hope for his full recovery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Well, John, as I was telling people, next month is the 220th anniversary, I believe, of the ratification of the Constitution, September 17th, right?
No, not quite. September 17th is not when it was ratified. It was when the Constitutional Convention adjourned.
Oh, okay.
In other words,
it was 2 years later then?
Finished and ready to send the Constitution out to the states for ratification.
Okay, so it was 1789 that it was actually ratified then.
Right.
Okay. But we celebrate September 17th as Constitution Day. Is that correct?
Right, because it's easier to establish as a kind of a date when it kind of all came together, sort of the date of creation, right, as it were, even though it wasn't the date of ratification.
I see. Okay. Well, I was talking to a guest before, and we were just musing about the fact that, you know, this country is undergoing such change and such decimation, in my view, of civil liberties on every front. And, you know, of course, the document that should protect us, if the government would adhere to it, the federal government, would be the Constitution. And I don't know where to begin with this, John, in the sense that how do we get people in the United States to understand that the importance of the Constitution and that it restricts the powers of the federal government so severely? Because most people, unfortunately, don't seem to understand that and therefore offer no check on this expansion, this seemingly unbridled expansion of government power.
Yeah, well, of course, part of the problem there is that there are too many Americans who get a check from the government, directly or indirectly,
right,
and they want those checks to keep coming.
Right.
And that's really where it all comes from. Now, that and also the fact that when government encroaches on our liberties, it does so sort of in an experimental way. It pushes us and to see if we're going to push back.
Right.
And if people don't push back, their new position becomes entrenched. People come to rely on the new exercise of power, and so the next time they push, we lose gain it ground again. We never gain it back.
Right.
So it's we're fighting what are called by the legal profession reliance interests. Those
right.
are the people who, once government exercises new powers and we don't push them back hard enough, soon enough, come to join the faction, as it were, that continues to support that exercise.
Right. Well, and isn't that true even of Congress itself? I mean, Congress doesn't seem to have any concern about whether any law it passes is constitutional. They just sort of throw things at the judicial wall, so to speak, and see what sticks. Their attitude seems to be, well, let's pass it, and if the courts uphold it, then we'll go with it. And if the courts don't, then that's okay. We'll try some different legislation later.
Yeah, well, in a larger sense, it's just human nature. I mean, anyone who's had kids know that kids do it to the rules that we make for their behavior, too.
Right.
They'll push back, and if we don't, you know, hold firm with them, they're going to get out of control.
Right. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said that the tendency is for government to grow and for liberty to recede. And
yeah.
And that's been doing so for 220 plus years.
Yeah, we see it in the private sector, too, in businesses and churches and foundations and virtually every kind of organized activity where there are rules in play and people try to push the boundaries of those rules. And if they aren't held to those rules, then before you know it, they move the boundaries.
Right. Well, John, let me ask you, if I can, there's a fair amount of disagreement on what the requirement is of the government with respect to the First Amendment. I'm going to ask you about Bob Scholl's petition for redress of grievance. So just to set the context for people, let me read the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which goes like this. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, as I said, I think there's a split among constitutional scholars or at least people that endorse the Constitution on whether that amendment merely says that the government shall not prohibit people's right to redress the grievance, shall not prohibit the people's right for redress of grievances, or whether, in fact, the government has to respond. What is your take on that?
Okay, well, I gave a speech on this at the We the People Foundation convention on March 31st, and it's online on conceptconstitution.org.
Okay.
Basically, my position on the matter, based on my study of the history, is that the right to petition is only a right not to be penalized or obstructed from petitioning. It is not the right to get an answer. There is a right to get an answer, but that's not where you find it.
Oh, okay.
The right to get an answer is really to be found in the Ninth Amendment, if it's properly understood.
Okay.
When the various state ratifying conventions proposed additional amendments, some of them, actually most of them, did not find their way into the Bill of Rights, into one of the first eight amendments.
Right.
The more important ones were made more explicit, and all the rest were kind of lumped together into the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. But if you go to the historical record of what was proposed and what people consider to be rights, then what there was considered a right but was seldom exercised in the British North America was the right of quo warranto.
Okay.
And that's where you get the answers.
Okay, so let me just clarify for the listener. So your position is that, indeed, the people have a right to get an answer from the government when they have a grievance, but it is not found in the First Amendment, but rather the Ninth Amendment, which reads, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
What was
so the motivation and the intent of Bob Scholes is correct, but the specific citation of the First Amendment is, in your view, incorrect in his legal approach.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what the courts have held.
Okay.
Not only in his case, but in other cases. The case, although well-intentioned, was not well-framed.
Okay.
You can see this if you go to... or if you get a copy of the DVD that We the People Foundation put out, which has our very speeches on it, the lead counsel in that the only counsel, was Mark Lane.
Right.
Who's a good guy, but he's over his head in this one.
Okay.
And what we really needed was somebody like in the caliber of Larry Beecraft to conduct that lawsuit, because Larry does understand all this.
Well, how would I agree with you there. How would, I mean, in a general sense, and I know that the legal particulars might be something beyond what we can discuss here since neither of us are attorneys, but how would one approach the government? Because, I mean, there are people in the government, the federal government, that basically, I mean, obviously they ignore the whole Constitution, and specifically they ignore the Ninth and Tenth Amendments.
Oh, yes.
And so how do you say, okay, you have to answer us on these questions, and our right to have you answer, or in other words, your duty, federal government, to answer us is found in the Ninth Amendment. How do you make that more explicit to them?
Well, the answer is that it wouldn't work, but that's the correct legal approach. None of these approaches are going to work. The courts are too corrupt to allow a meritorious legal argument to get very far. The problem is that if we are going to make the attempt, which we'll lose, we need to then be able to go to competent legal scholars and not have them badmouth us because we made the wrong argument. We need the scholarly community to be able to say, yeah, they made all the right arguments and lost anyway. If they can pick apart our arguments and say, well, they lost because they've made the wrong argument, then that largely robs us of a lot of the value of the lawsuit as political theater. Really what it is political theater. In other words,
right. What
you're trying to do is you're making an effort, even though you know it's not going to succeed, because you want to use it to rally people who are on the fence to get involved, who might otherwise be inclined to leave it to the people leading the fight. So
okay, but you know, this my sense here as a layperson, John, is that it's just on this issue and others, it strikes me as so disingenuous on the part of the courts. And of course, if they're corrupt, that's disingenuous is an understatement. But if, in fact, you know, Scholl's organization or others are making this, and the argument may not be quite correct because they're citing the First Amendment as opposed to the Ninth Amendment, and therefore the structure of the legal argument is not quite correct, the conclusion of the argument is the same. And why can't the government realize that? Why? I mean, it reminds me of something I read recently on the internet where somebody did a FOIA request to the IRS on some particular matter, and they said, well, we're not going to research that. You have to tell us exactly where this particular item is to be found, or we're not going to turn over anything to you. And, I mean, we're getting that sort of response from the government. No, I'm sorry, that's not the right argument. Therefore, we're going to rule against you, when, in fact, even if the argument is incorrect, we do have a right to have the government respond to us when we have questions. Otherwise, what's the point of government?
Yeah, well, the thing is that judges routinely take the position, which is not entirely unreasonable, that it's up to the parties to make the argument, that all I do is choose between the arguments. It's not up to me to introduce new arguments. Now, of course, sometimes do that anyway.
Right.
The Supreme Court and sometimes even lower courts making what are called sua sponte motions,
right,
to correct to fill a hole that was left open by the litigant, and
okay,
a lot of the reason for amicus brief is to do that. Sometimes judges will pick up on what arguments made in amicus brief. Of course, what really works, and but it only works at the trial level, are what's called actions in intervention. That's where a third party comes in, like a party, but not on either side of the other two.
Okay.
Essentially, making an argument that is not being made by the others. Now, of course, the courts can tend to hate that, but it's provided for under the law. Usually, if either part of the other main parties object, it gets struck. But before it gets struck, it can sometimes make some valuable legal points. I've been a petitioner in intervention in a few cases myself. So the structure of the judicial process discourages people from correcting mistakes in the way that we might think that they should be able to. Even things like the page limit rules, which limit how long your pleadings can be. Well, sometimes you just know there's no way you can cover the material within the page limits.
Right.
And so what you try to do is you recruit a lot of people to file amicus briefs, each one of whom is assigned to make some of the arguments that you couldn't make because you ran out of pages. Well, sometimes that works, but not very often. And another problem is that the arguments that might work on the trial are middle appellate level, circuit court level, are not necessarily the same arguments that you need to make at the Supreme Court level, but if you don't make them at the lower level, where they will probably hurt you rather than help you, you can't make them on appeal. So
the whole system just seems so convoluted and stacked in favor of the government.
Yeah, well, in favor of not necessarily the government, but the well-connected, because it gives the judge an excuse to favor his well-connected friend, which of course is the government when the government is a party.
Right, right. Well, you want to take a call, John? We have Greg from Illinois on the line. Go ahead, Greg. Do we have Greg?
Hello, Peter?
Yes, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I wanted to get your address for that DVD, just for some friends of mine, just in case I need more copies. What do I do? Where do I send
them? Why don't you can you send me an email, and I'll put my address in the email?
Okay. What is your email?
Peter@petermacshow.com.
Okay, all righty.
That was your only question?
Yes, okay. Yeah. I didn't hear you give an address, so.
That's fine.
It's, Peter at
Peter Mac. Mac is M-A-C, then the word show. Peter Mac Show, all one word, .com.
Peter at Peter M-A-C, not K?
Correct, M-A-C.
Okay, PeterMacShow.com?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Greg. Well, how do we get the government? I mean, gosh, there's so many questions. What would, as you recall, I had Peter Barnett, Randy Barnett on my show about 3 years ago, and he's a constitutional scholar, a law professor at Boston University. I assume he's still there, and I think he's a friend of yours. Is that correct?
He's at Georgetown now.
Oh, he's at Georgetown now. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question about that when we get back from the break. Folks, we're due for a break here as the music comes on, so stay with us, and I'll be back here with John Rowland, founder and president of the Constitution Society.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show, and my special guest with us today is John Rowland, founder and president of the Constitution Society, and as I said at the outset, he has a website that he personally maintains called constitution.org with a wealth of information on there about the Constitution, and John, we were speaking just before the break, I mentioned Randy Barnett, whom I think is a friend of yours, and you said now is a law professor at Georgetown. what would his take be the same as yours in terms of the fact that if Americans do petition the government for redress, the government has to respond, but the argument should be made incorporating the Ninth Amendment instead of just the First?
Well, we haven't discussed this particular case.
Oh, okay.
But if you look at his writings on the Ninth Amendment, on which he's a leading scholar, they pretty well lead you in that direction.
Okay.
I've done some further work on the subject myself, so I've developed some points on this that even go beyond what he's done. But when I had already done this kind of thing he had done before I discovered his writings on the subject, and found that they were in perfect agreement with what I had found. So I presume we're pretty much on the same page, but we haven't had a chance to discuss every point of and every case.
I see. Okay. Do you recall when Bork was being when he was being reviewed for his nomination for the Supreme Court back in the early 90s?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong if you remember this, I believe he made some statement to the effect that, well, since the Ninth Amendment really doesn't tell us what rights are retained there by the people, I think he used this metaphor. It's like if something in the Constitution said the people shall have a right to, and then there were an ink blot covering that right, he said the proper approach would be to ignore that.
Well, actually, it was Antonin Scalia that made the ink blot comment.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Bork. Okay. Well, that's pretty scary since he is on the Supreme Court, isn't it?
Yeah, he is on the Supreme Court.
Right.
So, but the problem is that they are, Scalia is a so-called textualist who is looking for the Ninth Amendment to contain explicitly a lot of stuff that, by its own words, it denies that it has.
Right.
It's referring people to the historic and scholarly and legal background at the time. So it's referring to other stuff, but not by name.
Right.
And to find out what it's referring to, you have to do a little background research. But it's not hard to do. It's all documented. In fact, of course, you can find it. Almost all of it on my website, but it involves a fair amount of reading, which most people don't have the patience to do.
Okay, but one would expect a Supreme Court justice to do that reading and be up on that, wouldn't they?
No, like most judges, they read the stuff that's put before them from the cases that come before them. Most judges don't know any more about the law than they learn from the cases that are put before them. Very few of them take the time to do any background research on their own time, as it were.
That's pretty scary that Supreme Court justices don't know any more about the Constitution than that.
Yeah, well, I do recall that Justice Rehnquist once read the letters of Junius.
Okay, hold that thought, if you would. Sorry, we're due for a break here, John. We'll be back right after the top of the hour, folks. Stay with us.